I'm joined in the studio today with Gary Moritz, the presenter of Sunset Melodies, and I'm told an avid blind cricketer. Gary, tell us more. How did you get involved in the sport?
Well, it's quite funny, actually. I was in my local supermarket, and this chap came up to me and said, "Do you fancy playing blind tennis?" Yeah, I kind of got into it. Of course, whilst I was there, I learned that there's a cricket team, and I said, "Oh, I'd like to get involved in that." Got in contact with the captain, and he invited me down to Lords, of all places. Yeah. Went along, got noticed for my abilities, and got picked for the team.
Brilliant. I mean, have you got like a background playing cricket as well before this?
My father was a cricketer. He was a late starter, funny enough, but once he got into it, that was it. He was hooked. My mum became a cricketer's widow. That was it. Her life was cricket as well. I grew up going every weekend in the summer to the cricket club where my dad played. That was my life, really, and I loved it. Playing in the garden at first, playing with my brothers, and my dad showing me the ropes and everything.
Yeah, so you've always had a great passion for the sport.
Oh, absolutely. And then I did very well in the first year of high school cricket. I won an award for best bowler, and a friend of mine won an award for best batsman. And our award was to go and watch the West Indies play at Lords.
Oh, brilliant.
England.
Yeah.
West Indies had bowlers like Michael Holding and Andy Roberts, and they were pretty quick. Brian Close put up a stubborn innings where he turned his back on the balls and let the ball hit him. I mean, he was a stubborn old Yorkshireman who could take a bit of pain, and he never grimaced once, I don't think.
Yeah.
But people who know cricket will probably remember that innings, and we got a ticket for that day's play. So, yeah, it was onwards and upwards, and then I was soon playing club cricket. So it was going quite well. But, of course, around the age of 16, I got diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. I remember playing for another 6 years or so. I was still able to bat and bowl, but I wasn't able to see the ball in the fields. What we used to do at the end of the season was all the club players would get together on a Sunday. This is the last day of the season, and we would just do a seven-a-side tournament between us all. It was quite a fun day, actually. I remember really looking forward to them. So we get to play with all the top players of the club, you know. And I happened to be in the team that was captained by the captain of the club.
Mm.
So when I let the ball go past me, I was letting him down. I felt it so much more. And I thought, I don't know if I can carry on with this. You know, I'm letting everybody down. So I had to give up, told my dad, and he understood. And I turned my attention to other things, which was quite strange, because every summer, every weekend was just about playing cricket.
True. Now, I'm wondering, is there a big difference between playing normal cricket and blind cricket? You know, what are the differences?
First of all, they have a bigger ball.
Yeah.
Which makes all the difference, to be honest. So everything's normal in terms of the stumps, slightly higher than regular stumps. The bat, you use a normal cricket bat. You play on a normal pitch, normal size, nothing changes there. But as I say, the ball's slightly bigger. It's about, I would say, 7 to 8 inches in diameter, and it's white. Inside the ball are ball bearings so that it makes a sound. And everything else is pretty much the same, except the rules. We all have to be categorised. Our sight loss has to be categorised. We've all got different levels of eyesight, so some who haven't got that much of a sight loss may be categorised as a B4, and then those with severe sight loss or have no sight at all will be categorised as B1. And in between, you'll have B2, B3, you might be called a lower partial. So yeah, the B1s have to play a part in the game. They're involved. They're not left to the end. So it's, oh, you know, you're severely sighted, we'll just put you in last. There isn't any of that. They have to play a part of the game, so they're quite inclusive. In terms of fielding, the severely sighted players tend to field close in. For those who know cricket will probably know the position of silly mid-on or something.
Yeah.
So they're close around the batsman. So all the B1 players are blindfolded, and the reason for that is that we found that a number of the B1s had different levels of sight loss that could have been classed as a more sighted category. Because every time a B1 gets a run, they get their score doubled.
Yeah.
So what they decided to do was to ask the B1s to all wear blindfolds so that they're all at the same level. So when they field close up, they are allowed to catch the ball on one bounce, mm-hmm. and they react very quickly and just catch the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't always happen, but occasionally it does, and it's quite remarkable when you see it. I mean, I've been caught out myself a few times.
Yeah.
Like that.
There must be some great challenges faced by all the players of all the different levels. You know, just hearing the ball come into them, the spatial awareness, everything like that.
We've got all levels of sight loss playing in the team, and everybody understands why a player would make a mistake or why they couldn't field the ball very well, why they hit the ball when they're batting or completely miss it. No, yeah, as you do, particularly when there's a catch opportunity and you think, oh, that's nice and easy, but then with sight loss it isn't. So it's a challenge, it's a great challenge, and if you do catch it, it's a euphoria, you know, oh wow, you caught the ball.
I mean, I was just going to say that it must be very rewarding for all the players involved, just catching the ball, hitting the ball.
It is, particularly for the wicketkeeper. You do get these opportunities.
Yeah.
The ball is nit. And it goes straight to them. They snatch at it, and it's like, they drop it. But then when he does, you know, he caught one. Funny enough, the last game I played him, the wicketkeeper caught one off my bowling.
Right.
And it doesn't happen very often, but it did happen on this occasion. Yeah, he was ecstatic. And in normal cricket, you know, when the bowler gets a wicket from a catch, it's the bowler that is credited with the wicket. With blind cricket, it's the person that catches it who should really feel like they're the one that should be credited, even though it'll go down in the records as, oh, that was a wicket for the bowler.
Yeah. Now, apart from just playing the golf, it must be a great social scene, all meeting together and sort of all the camaraderie involved.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most rewarding parts of it. When I started playing tennis and cricket, that was the first time I spent any time with visually impaired people. You might have some a little bit more sight than some of the other players, so you're ending up helping them, and you think, wow, they're relying on me to get them around. That happens all the time. Every time we meet up, there's somebody that needs an arm. So everybody understands why you trip over. Everybody understands why you walk into things. You don't feel flustered. You don't feel stupid or silly. You just feel like one of the team. I was going to say one of the lads, but of course the teams are mixed. Some teams are very mixed. They're almost 50-50. But yeah, we all help each other. It is a nice opportunity just to spend time with people of your same background, shall we say. It's just the fact that you feel comfortable with people.
You've all got something in common.
Yeah.
Sports-wise as well as sight loss.
Yeah. And a lot of the games we play are away games, and we play against Kent and Sussex and Hampshire, and we're travelling to all these places, and we're all sticking together. I find we don't worry as much when we're all together because we've all got the same problems.
All same problems.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of clubs out there for people to play in?
Not every county is represented. I think if you take a county like Lincolnshire, I'm not sure they have a team, but Yorkshire will have. I'm not saying that it's easy to get from Lincolnshire to Yorkshire, but people may have to look for their local team and go, well, that's the nearest one to me.
Yeah,
it's surprising how far people do travel to get to these games.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like a sport that's growing as well.
I think as much as anything else, it's awareness, encouraging people to believe that they can participate in a game like cricket. I mean, I'm sure there's a number of people out there who think, I've not heard of blind cricket before, but I would love to play it.
Have you any personal goals in cricket, you know, any achievements you'd like to hit?
It would be very nice to win the league. I think what I would like to see some nice young players coming in and showing us what they can do. And it would be nice to see some young faces come in and be involved, you know, keep the legacy of blind cricket going.
And growing as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I played with players who have played for England. The opportunity to play for England at blind cricket is a lot more accessible, shall we say. They actually do go around the world and play cricket. They play in Australia, in India, in the West Indies.
Now, I've got to ask you, how do you bat when you're up and on the crease?
Because I'm a B2, I receive the ball like normal. People can bowl to me how they want. What they can't do is bowl what they call a beamer, where it doesn't bounce. So that would be considered a no ball. What I had to get used to at first was timing. The ball will look like it's coming to you fairly quickly in the air, but once it bounces, it slows up a little bit.
Okay.
And so it's not as daunting
yeah.
as it may seem if you're trying to picture yourself batting.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's down to the size of the ball and its weight and the ball bearings and everything.
The rules are lower partial batsmen and B1 batsmen have to have two bounces, and that allows to have a little bit more time to follow the ball. And if they're wondering how do they run where they don't run, they have a runner. So someone with more sight, someone like a B4, B3, or even a B2 like myself, will go out and run for them. It's quite knackering, but it's something that we, those with slightly more sight, has to volunteer to do.
Yeah, like I say, it makes a lot of sense that when the ball's bouncing once, you have an idea of where the ball is, but when it bounces twice, you get like a direction. There must be instances where a B1 hits a 6.
I've never seen that.
Well, I was just wondering, because that would turn out to be a 12. It would.
That would be an extraordinary shot if that happened. Yeah. But there have been fours. One of the games we won the cup for, we did quite well with our batting. I enjoyed that game because I batted quite well in that one and got some runs on the board for us. But it was touch and go as to whether we would actually get the runs in time, because the overs were running out and we had a B1 batting, but he managed to connect with this ball and it went for 4. We got 8 and we won the cup.
Oh, that must have been amazing.
It was wow. It's funny, that shot is more remembered than my 70 odd runs.
We've learned a lot about blind cricket today, Gary, and thanks for coming into the studio.
Oh, thank you, Roger, and thank you for inviting me in.
Cheers.